Today's episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. To see how FreshBooks can save you time and boost your creativity, go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter the Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. Let me ask you a pretty provocative question. Why are you here on this planet? Have you ever thought about it? I mean, I'm sure you have, but do you really spend much time considering why you're here and what it is you want to get out of life? Or maybe more importantly, what is it life is asking of you? And that's what we're going to talk about today with my guest, Tom Rath. Tom believes firmly that life is not what you get out of it, it's what you put back in. He quotes Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?" And on today's show, we're going to talk about Tom's new book. It's called Life's Great Question: Discover How You Contribute to the World. Tom Rath is an author. He's a researcher. He spent 2 decades studying how work can improve human health and well-being. His 10 books have sold more than 10 million copies, and they've made hundreds of appearances on global bestseller lists. So today we're going to talk with Tom about life's great question, why we're here, how we contribute, how we can identify what we're wired to contribute, and how all of that can lead to a life that is more engaged, more effective, and frankly, more satisfying. Before we jump in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. So whether you're a writer, you're a designer, maybe you make a creative living some other way, it's common to fall into a rut from time to time. And climbing out of that rut is different for each and every person. One thing's for sure, it takes time to get past the rut, and it takes energy to get past a rut. Well, the right business tools are an easy way to find that important time that you need to focus on your craft and to get out of the rut. Have you heard of FreshBooks? If you've been listening to the Axon Creative Podcast for any period of time, you probably have. We love it. We think you're going to love it too. It's easy to use accounting software that's specifically designed to save creative pros like you a bunch of time every single day. And here's how. You can automate your invoicing so that all you have to do is wait for the payments. You can snap photos of expense receipts and easily log them and add them to invoices. And you can accept credit card and ACH payments right there on the invoice and get paid up to 2 times faster. No more waiting for the check in the mail. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. FreshBooks can actually save you up to 200 hours a year. And that rut you were in, where you're going to have all the time and the energy you need to overcome it, it's going to be a mountain of ideas before you know it. So right now we're offering listeners a free 30-day trial of FreshBooks, no credit card required. It's incredibly rare, by the way, no credit card required, because they know you're going to love it once you try it. All you have to do is go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter the Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Again, that's freshbooks.com/accidental and enter the Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We love FreshBooks. You will too. Check them out. freshbooks.com/accidental. We think FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it is so great to have on the show today, Tom Rath, return visit to the Axon Creative Podcast. And he's the author of so many books that sit on my shelf, and I'm sure on all of you who are listening sit on your shelves as well. His new book is called Life's Great Question: Discover How You Contribute to the World. Boy, that is the great question. Tom Rath, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Thanks so much. It's good to talk with you again, Todd.
Yeah, well, I am, as you know, and we had a bit of time to chat before we started recording. I'm a huge fan of your work, and I just love to see where your mind goes. I feel like you are kind of a leading indicator of where business leaders need to be thinking. You know, you're sort of the first one to kind of cross the river to the other side, and so I'm curious why. You know, this new book, which is about contribution, why did this become a point of exploration for you?
Yeah, you know, it was actually the convergence of a few big influences I've had over the years. And one of my great mentors over the years, my grandfather, Don Clifton, who I kind of got into this work with all the way going back to Strengths. And we wrote the book, How Full Is Your Bucket, together. And, you know, he'd always kind of had his mind and big outcome in life set on the contribution that we make to society. So I grew up around that as the overall mindset. And then In recent years, I've kind of been, my work at least has been, I don't know if haunted is the right word, but every day I kind of think about Dr. King's amazing call to action when he said that life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Mm-hmm. And when I think about that question of Dr. King's, I know it may seem like a big, broad existential question to some people. I've tried to ask that question almost every day. So when I wake up and I'm thinking about what's most important today, is it getting through 100 emails in inbox zero, or is it working on something that someone might pick up and read a year from now, or investing an hour in the development of one of my kids that'll still matter a week from now, a month from now? I think it's a really good reminder to spend time each and every day focusing on what grows in our absence. And so that's where a lot of this work was rooted. And it was also the third big influence is, I think right now a lot of us have really good intent and we want to do good things through our work, but we just don't know how to match up who we are with what the world needs in a very efficient manner. And as a result, I would estimate that a lot of us are showing up each day and working at, I don't know if it's 20 or 30% of our capacity, and I think we can do a lot better.
You use an interesting word there that I would like to revisit, because I think this is not how we often frame up the world of work, or frankly, like how we go about our lives, but you use the word invest. And the way that you describe that is what grows in your absence. So, you know, when you think about investment, you financial investment, you think about you put money someplace and then you kind of forget about it, right? And it grows in your absence. Like you're basically putting money into something with the hope that it's going to increase over time, that the impact of that is going to increase over time. And you talk about this in the book from the standpoint of moving beyond thinking about work as you are what you do, which is how we think about resumes typically. You know, here's my set of skills, here are the things I do, the tasks I do, to transitioning to you are how you help. Can you talk a little bit about that transition?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important because if we spend our time in our efforts in life focused on essentially what we get out of life, I think it leads to a less secure, less efficient, sometimes even more paranoid mindset throughout the day. And if instead of focusing on what we get out of life, if we're focused on what we're putting back in, not only does that lead to work that we can be proud of at the end of our lives, at the end of a year, that's going to continue to grow on and have a positive influence on people. But, you know, the kind of fun thing I've learned as I've spent the last few years on this work is that when you focus even some of your effort during a day outward on the influence it has on other people, the more you're able to do that, the less you worry about yourself and the less stressful it is. I mean, it sounds counterintuitive, but it almost makes life and your work each day a little bit easier when you're focused on the positive influence it has on other people as the primary goal and dependent variable, instead of on what you're getting out of it emotionally, psychologically, financially, and the like.
You know, it's interesting that most people think that the path to finding satisfaction in work is finding tasks that you enjoy doing. And my experience has been, and I'm sure yours has been as well, that, you know, finding tasks that you enjoy is far less satisfying than finding an outcome that you're willing to suffer for if necessary, because the outcome, you know, the investment that you're making matters more to you than your discomfort. And when you discover that, and that really is the meaning of the word passion, right? Passion, the root of the word passion is to suffer, which we don't think about that. We think of passion as like, I want to enjoy the tasks, I want to enjoy the things I do, but that's not really the path to a meaningful work life or meaningful contribution.
Yeah, you know, I've been, and I think I've said this to you in previous years, even over the span of a half a decade or more here, I've been as influenced by your work and Die Empty as about any book that I've read. And that, to me, is kind of a great way to think about and summarize in a clarion call around why we really need to put as much as we can out there and know that we can be a part of something a lot larger and contributing to a collective body of work that continues to grow and make a difference. So I know that if I spend even a little bit of time today investing in the growth and development of someone I lead or care about, that I can feel really good about that, even if I'm off doing something else in a week or I'm not around anymore a decade from now. And I think that when you get yourself into that mindset and that frame, work has so much more meaning than the completion of tasks, which can, it's tempting because the completion of tasks can feel really good in the next few hours here. It's almost easier and more enjoyable for me to get to inbox zero right now instead of writing a new chapter, right? But we've got to try and turn that around a little bit in the way we think about our work.
So one of the phrases or one of the quotes from the book that you utilize is, or let me rephrase that. So in the book, you say, instead of following your passion, find your greatest contribution. Tom, how do we begin? Maybe this is the great question. This is the great question, right? How do we begin to find our greatest contribution?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question pretty early on here in our conversation, because that, I think that's the hard part and the big challenge, and what I've spent a lot of time in the last few years trying to address is, how do we make a pivot from the, right now we have a very overly sanitized work world in my, from my vantage point. And if you look at the manifestation of that, we have LinkedIn profiles and resumes that couldn't be any less personal and more sterile if we scripted them to be inhumane. And as a result of that, we think and talk in very tactical and sterile terms about what we do and who we are and our jobs. And I think we've got to begin to find a way to talk about what's important to us in our work and the contributions we can make in a much more personal and relatable way. And so that was the kind of the core of the research project that I embarked on here, was to say, how can we help people to build profiles of who they are and why they do what they do and how they want to contribute, that people can update and go through this inventory every time they join a new team, think about a new job, and that starts a conversation about what are the big roles I play in life, whether that's as a dad, as a husband, as a researcher, as a writer, what are the big experiences that have shaped who I am and why I do what I do, and what do I think my personal strengths are. And then we also, one of the things I spent quite a bit of time on as a part of this recent book, Life's Great Question, is I went back through and looked at all of the jobs people actually do in our society. And that's, I started with thousands of jobs from the Bureau of Labor Statistics here in the United States and tried to narrow down to what are the big functions that people perform that make a difference for others in a given day. And so then there's a kind of an inventory as a part of this book that readers can access, where they begin to match up and prioritize how they want to contribute to the world broadly and how they think they can best contribute as a part of a given team that they're on. And I mean, a part of this is really easy and functional. You don't need any website or tools to do this. It's just sitting down every time you bring a group of people together and saying, how can I best contribute and how do I want to contribute? And as you and I have talked about, what motivates me? How do I think I can make a difference in the context of this team? Because right now the path of least resistance is to bring a group of people together and they all head off charging in independent directions. And it's not until 3, 6, 12 months down the road do people realize, well, hey, we were all interested in the same thing. We've all been trying to do the same thing for 3 months and we didn't really coordinate how we wanted to contribute to this effort.
Right. So let's talk about the categories of contributions that you've discovered in your research. There are three of them, create, relate, and operate. And within those, there are individual contributions, but could you give us a broad overview of those categories?
Yeah, you know, as I looked at all these job codes that I mentioned and so forth and tried to get down to, at a team level, what are the things that almost any team in any service, product, creative industry, whatever it might be, what does a team need to do? A team needs to have a product or service. It needs to create something. A team needs to have relationships with one another. By definition, if they don't, it's very unlikely to succeed. That's the most underestimated part in my observation, by the way. And a team needs to operate and get things done and scale and reach more people. So when I try to be as simplistic as possible, and there, I think I've seen probably 20 or 30 different groups of researchers try and sort out what teams do, and it all comes down to three or four common elements like that. And so I think there's pretty good consensus on those team elements. And then after that, you get into the more specific details about how I think people should kind of self-nominate and say, I want to contribute in the create area by initiating and getting new things started, for example, or in the relate area by energizing people on the team to make sure we're all pumped up about what we're doing and the like. And then to get into more granular detail about within those broad buckets, how can each person make a substantive and unique contribution so that it's complementary and not overlapping, as I mentioned.
So are the contributions that we are, I guess, wired to make, I guess that's the question. Are we wired for certain contributions, or can we choose, hey, I'm going to initiate, hey, I'm going to vision, hey, I'm going to influence? I mean, is it something that's hardwired in us to want to do, or is it something that we can choose to do instead?
You know, that's a really sharp question, because I think that most of the work I've at least been involved with all the original work on talents and StrengthsFinder and the like, that work is about how you're wired and your personality and the things that are less likely to change over time. But when I started to look at contributions and what the world needs, that's more about meeting the demand side of the equation of all these things that a team needs or the world needs. And I fully intended that to be almost entirely situational in terms of not being fixed. And there might be, I mean, a good example would be, even though my natural talents aren't to go out and win people over in StrengthsFinder language or woo people and build new relationships, there are a few teams that I'm on where I need to fill in that gap and do that, even though it's not the first thing I would opt in towards. But if nobody's doing that on a team, we're all in trouble. And so that's where I've tried to build this website and system around contribution to be more fluid and dynamic. So if you join a new team, you might think differently about what you're going to contribute to this community group versus what you do in a production or operational job during the day, for example.
And the website is Contribify, right?
That's correct.
Contribify.
And also, I think to your point, we've designed that so that each reader can go through that inventory an unlimited number of times based on if they change a job, if they join a new team and the like. So it's designed to be far more fluid and situational, like a resume, but with emotions.
So as you mentioned, if it's situational, then what are some questions that we should ask when we're in a team context and we're trying to assess, okay, where can I invest? What's going to grow in my absence, right? Where can I invest in this team? What are some questions we can ask to help us identify which contribution we should be honing in on?
Yeah, you know, I think you and I talked about this a little bit earlier, is what motivates you to do your best work? That's a good place to start, to say, I mean, if you know who you are from a talent or a personality standpoint, is a great starting point. And then I would ask, what motivates your best work and really gets you going and fully charged up in a given day? I would ask, what are the big roles you play in life that you're most proud of, and both personally and professionally? And I mean, it's kind of, there was an article in the New York Times a while back, I believe it was by David Brooks, where he compared and contrasted resume values with eulogy values. Yes. Yeah. And I'd encourage people to go to the eulogy values, because nobody's going to be talking about your VP title or your social media following when they evaluate your life in the end. And so I'd kind of start with how you want to be known, who you are, what motivates you, and then thinking about what this specific community or team or company needs from you. How do you want to contribute based on what you know about that job or task and based on what you know about who you are? And I mean, another piece that I ask people to spend a little bit of time thinking about as a part of this Contribify inventory is, what have been your miles or most influential life experiences? And just sitting down with a team of 3 or 4 or 5 people as you embark on a new project and talking about what experiences have changed the trajectory of your career most, that's a great learning experience for people as well. And I think we kind of underestimate the power of those searing experiences when we think about why we do what we do each day.
Completely agree. And you know, you mentioned David Brooks's article about resume versus eulogy. And what's interesting to me about that is you use the investment language, when you talk about all of this about contribution. And I think so many people early in their career are thinking about building their resume, right? That's really what they're primarily focused on. And it's the same way that, you tell people in their early 20s, hey, start investing now. It's going to pay off later. If you just put a little bit of money away now, it's going to be a lot better than having to put a lot of money away later. And yet people don't do it. They don't do it anyway, right? Even right. though it's not like, because they think, well, I can't live without that $100 a month. Really? Okay. But the funny thing is, like, it almost layers perfectly onto our current conversation. You know, if you begin thinking about contribution when you're 22, 23, 24, if you begin making those investments in your early, mid, late 20s, you're going to reap dividends over the course of decades versus, you know, a lot of people start thinking in their, you know, late 40s, like, which is where I am, or maybe early 50s, they start thinking, okay, now how can I give back? Now that I've built my resume, how can I give back? But that's almost an inverted way to think about it, especially if you think about it through the lens of investment.
It really is. And it's a great point that, I mean, the trajectory of most careers that I've seen, of good ones, I mean, it looks a lot more like a chart of the S&P 500, not some perfect smooth line. You might be doing really well in the first year or two, and then all of a sudden there's a big crash, and then you come back, and it takes 5 years, and then you start back on that trajectory. But I think we've got to begin thinking about a career over time as something that you're gradually chipping away at and investing in things that can continue to grow over time. And you're going to have some setbacks and some ups and downs in there. But the point is to begin to, over time, to craft the work that you do each day into something that's a little bit more meaningful over the span of a decade and that you feel a little bit better about. And I mean, I think it's also important to know that that doesn't mean just jumping from one job to the next as rapidly as you can. There's a lot of growth from a contribution standpoint that I believe people can create within the current job they're in, and at least within the current organization that they're in. It sometimes it doesn't require as drastic of a changes as people think on the surface.
Yeah. So Tom, if people want to start identifying their contribution, what would you recommend to them?
You know, I would recommend that they begin by mapping out, I guess at a very basic way, where point A is who you are as an individual, your talents, your motivations, what gets you going. And point B is, I think we've got to bring this perspective in so much more. Point B is what the world needs, what the world around you needs. It's so often we just start with this, here's who I am. I want to go do this. This is how I'm going to apply more of me for the world. Instead of saying, what would best serve this community that's around me? What would best serve this organization that I'm a part of? What would best serve the broader world from a big mission standpoint? And I think if you actually start with point B and map back to who you are, you might get a better outcome there. And so most of the pieces that we've talked about that I've tried to build into that inventory I mentioned, and my goal there is that inventory continues to grow and brings in even more data points and information about people so that maybe 5-10 years from now that we could have a much more comprehensive and meaningful baseball card for how you can best contribute for a person than we have today with resumes, which are kind of catalogs of skills and accomplishments.
And the Contribify website is a great place for people to start if they want to begin to answer some of those questions, as well as obviously the book, Life's Great Question, Discover How You Contribute to the World. What is the website for Contribify?
It's just Contribify, contribify.com. And that's a place where readers can go. And with each copy of the Life's Great Question book, there are actually two codes in the back that where readers can use it for themselves to build a profile. And we've included one for them to share with a friend or a colleague or a family member, just in hopes that that starts a conversation there. Where I don't think what's most important is that people go through the inventory and the activity themselves. I think what's important is that they talk to another person about it, because almost all of the growth that I've seen from a career standpoint occurs in the context of a relationship. And the more we can at least have some level setting conversations, whether you use a tool or just some good questions to get to know one another, I think that's what matters.
That's great. Well, Tom Rath is the author of Life's Great Question, Discover How You Contribute to the World. Tom, you are, you've been such a gift in my life. I mean, your work has really contributed greatly to my perception of the world and my career, and just in so many ways, you've been such an inspiration to me. So just as affirmation to you, you are making a contribution. So thank you for what you do. And thanks so much for taking your time to be with us today.
Thanks so much. It's been an honor and a really fun conversation.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.